You guys, it's Andy Squirrels. It's episode. And yeah, I'm putting this on AG instead of Tip. So Tip was originally created and named, by the way, by my dear friend James Jimothy LaRosa, or De La Rosa, as I still think of him. And not to be confused with Joe De La Rosa. How's she doing? And it was originally created to be sort of an extension of all things AG, just outside of the Housewives universe. And what I've realized is somehow seemingly 90% of what I've been talking about lately, because there has been such a dearth of Housewives content, has gone on Tip, but I think I might move it back. So this is truly a housekeeping note that no one will care about, but maybe me. But I think AG, it's all in the same feed, by the way. So if you're not subscribing, I mean, my God, this is actually a little bit of a pickle. So AG, I think, will be Bravo, and then Tip will be non-Bravo. And maybe I'll change my mind, honestly. If there's four Housewives, God help us, let us be so fortunate once again. Not four. Too Strong, which I don't think we're getting anytime soon, not until Orange County's back, or like maybe Too Strong and like a three, like 2.5 or something, then, you know, the shows that will not be airing at that point might go to Tip, and the others will see AG. But in the meantime, I think we're going to put the Bravo stuff under the AG umbrella and the non-Bravo under Tip. So how are we doing? Great. I just watched the alleged final part of the Vanderpump Rules reunion, and this is a triage-esque episode because I really have not given it deep thought. I have given it medium thought. I'm treading water a little bit. I think I need to sit on it for a day and watch it again. But I did just want to share, I guess, a couple instinctive initial thoughts on what we watched. It was painful and not moving, but emotional at points I didn't consider. But the number one surprise that I had was that the ending with Sandoval, this like Jinxian, what did I do? Killed them all, of course. Like the fact that that sort of didn't land really seemingly for anyone but Ariana was confusing to me. Now, I haven't watched that moment a second time, so I'm just kind of going off of my perspective of what I think I saw. But it did not land with like a big boom. There was not a kaboom moment that I felt, which I was surprised by. I felt like this whole lead up, this whole setup was getting us to this moment. And then I started to think about it and I was like, what was the purpose of actually doing this on the reunion? Because I do genuinely think they sacrificed more of a complex quality actual three-parter instead of what we've been doing, which was like sort of stuttering our way to the end of the third act. And I just kind of started thinking while escaping my body as a form of self-protection against what I was watching. I started to think to myself, why did they do this? Like, there's a question which I've said on prior episodes of why didn't they start the reunion with this surprise? But then I just started to think and was like, no, why are they doing this all together? Because if they had had the cast watched the final episode, which would have been well before we had seen it, because they filmed the reunion at an ungodly early pace versus what they've done with most other Bravo shows in years prior, why wouldn't they show that to the cast and maybe record, you know, like send it to them the night before? They've done that with other shows and have the cast have this moment of like, didn't they do this? I might be completely wrong, but the Meredith and Lisa reveal of her mic moment, I feel like wasn't that sort of done in a way like right before the reunion where Meredith didn't have a lot of time to absorb that? ended well for Salt Lake City when it came to having emotions brimming to the surface and bringing those emotions with you to the reunion. Why would you want people to be unprepared for this? This isn't a Scandoval situation. It's really genuinely not. This is a shock, a little bit of a sneak attack. Give it to the cast and have them show up and kind of see what happens. Unless the whole purpose of this was in some way to ensure that Ariana saw it in the absolute most public forum. And I just wonder what the payoff was there. Because if the cast is in discussion with production or just amongst themselves or some sort of weird medley, that Ariana isn't showing up, that they feel a certain way, that their frustration is seemingly entirely with Ariana, or Ariana is the symbol for a lot of angst. To have this reveal that's going to obviously affect her more than everyone else, is the purpose of doing that in real time to like dilute some of that frustration or some of that upset, some of that sadness? Is it to dilute that by having the cast focused on other things? Or is it to like punish her for not showing up to do the show in the way that production wanted, which a lot of the cast co-signed? Not everyone, but a lot of the cast. It was such a weird choice. It was stranger for me in watching because I was like, okay, well, this will certainly color some sort of contention that'll be more layered. And I was like, nope, that didn't happen because the cast didn't have a second to absorb it or decided that they didn't care. That's ultimately what I saw. I saw members of the cast choosing to care less about that moment than Ariana leaving. And if you've come into the reunion with a certain perspective and you want to hammer down, you know, your talking points or whatever else, then maybe to a certain extent, no reveal is going to be enough of a shock to get you out of place, which isn't to me a successful strategy to have as a viewer. I want people to be able to be shocked and have that frame their opinion, but I don't think production did. That's why they saved it to the end. They wanted to make sure that certain talking points and feelings that they knew to expect, because you're doing your job, you know, in prep with the cast, you want to make sure that those talking points are said. And then you throw this in kind of at the end and you're like, surprise, has anyone changed their mind? I don't think it was a successful choice. I think that's kind of a little bit of an understatement, is it not? It felt weird to me. And also, it cannot be said enough, but LOL, it can be said absolutely enough. And it's happened too many times on this podcast social experiment. But Lala's in real time kind of pushing that Ariana does something that they can never come back from, that Ariana chews her apart, that her relationship with Ariana's is forever tarnished, forever done. Like, Lala, what's going on here, babe? What's happening? Lala went on the talk and was asked a question that I guess had been like posed by someone on Twitter. And the question was, you know, there's this rumor that Ariana eviscerates you, like tears you apart, and that your friendship is over. And Lala's response is like, well, one of those is true and I'll let you find out. And I'm watching the reunion. Obviously, there was no eviscerating going on by Ariana. I just saw someone who was like reeling and in a lot of hurt. And I'm just thinking of Lala's responses to things. Her saying, you know, I called this person Madonna or Oprah or Beyonce, whatever she said. And then saying, you know, I don't understand why everyone's treating her like God or how she sees herself as God. And to double down on that and then say only one of these things is true, like our friendship is over. I just don't understand genuinely what Ariana did to deserve that kind of feedback. Like, this is coming from like 17 different places, so I apologize. But when I'm thinking through Lala's thought process, obviously a lot of this is coming from a place of pain, that she's upset and she's very, very mad that she was not treated with the kind of empathy that Ariana was given, the kind of like blanket support. Now, who is Lala upset at for not being treated as Ariana was? You could say the cast, you could say production, you could say the audience. Why has Ariana been the one to attack? It feels like Lala has decided that because I wasn't treated well, I'm going to treat someone else poorly. And I just don't get it. If you are saying that this person was treated well, while also saying she was treated too well, why are you using that against her? So much of this is genuinely out of Ariana's hands. There's like upset seemingly that she's choosing these opportunities and having financial success. You can't tell me there isn't. That's behind it. I'm not even saying jealousy, which maybe I will. Yeah, I am. Let me do it. Throw it out there. Jealousy. There are so many different reasons why I feel so confused and genuinely bewildered and frustrated with Lala and Sheena over the course of part three. It feels like Sheena is doing the thing that we have seen her do seemingly dozens of times over the course of this season, which is to try to catch up and to make sure that people aren't mad at her. And in doing so, maybe sacrificing friendships with people that she may have considered family until this point. I see her doing it with Tom. I see her doing it with Lala. I see her doing it with Ariana, but not responding in a way that makes me feel like she regrets some of those decisions. And I just don't entirely understand Sheena's concern about Lala being upset at her, unless Lala is right, that Sheena has been talking a lot of shit and Sheena's not being honest about it. But at the end of the day, with both of these women, I genuinely don't get the anger toward Ariana. I think it's misdirected. And I say that noting that Ariana is not the reality TV personality that Lala is. One could make the argument that Lala has put in either more work or a different kind of work to be seen as more of a like big, fiery personality. And that Ariana is sort of coming from behind with this because that's just genuinely not her personality type. She says she takes responsibility. She apologizes for the fact that she isolates, the fact that she internalizes, the fact that she has decided she did not want to share some of her grief with the group and also the cameras. It doesn't mean she wasn't crying, but it does mean that she was choosing not to show that on camera. And that to me feels like sort of a little bit of the narrative around Lala's upset. That Lala is upset that Ariana isn't doing the kind of job that Lala is in putting it all on the table. But the problem with that is we haven't seen that table set because so much of what Lala, and I'm choosing to believe her in this, talked about while she was filming the season, last season, about Rand wasn't shown. But I don't understand why it's Ariana's responsibility or Ariana should be punished for the fact that, I don't know, Lala's storyline wasn't good enough to be seen on TV. It wasn't good enough, maybe because it was very, very good and production or the network was concerned about Rand like putting a couple nickels together and attempting to make some sort of litigation threat if he was talked about in a certain way. Maybe it wasn't good enough because there just wasn't enough time because of this thing that was looming. But if I remember correctly, Lala has talked about the fact that she was told that her like storyline about Rand wasn't going to be a part of this season before the scandal happened. So some of these decisions when it comes to like in previous seasons, the prior season, her not getting an empathy edit, her not treated, she wasn't treated with the kind of care that Ariana was. That obviously happened pre-Scandoval, but the stuff that could have aired during season 10 didn't. But I don't understand why she should be upset at Ariana about that and why Ariana is the symbol of this thing that she had no control over, literally no control. It's so odd to me. It's so odd to me that the focus is like, I need to support my family. I need to be able to keep my job. I love filming with you guys. I love what I have been able to work my ass off to achieve as a result of filming with you guys. And you walking out was you not doing your job and also dishonest. I don't understand that perspective. I really don't. I think Schwartz also understood that it was a little bit fucked, that Lala was focusing too much on the W2-1099, that at the end of the reunion, he said something that I think needed to be said, which was, I get it, you know, you've worked hard, XYZ, but I think of the people on this stage as a family. It's not just that we are filming the show, we're a family. And Lala completely disagrees with that. Because she's saying over and over again, I don't care if you're hurt. I don't care about your feelings. Your feelings are not valid. If you have boundaries that I don't understand, that means that those boundaries are unacceptable. And at the end of the day, you're standing between, I guess, the third house that I have in mind. But why is it so focused on Ariana? Why did all of this happen? It's like getting upset at Lala for having a breakup. Wouldn't you be upset? Well, I guess this is a difference here. It's more of a gray area, but wouldn't you be more upset at Rand, like Rand's terrible behavior, which put Lala in a position where she realized she could not move forward with this man? She has seemingly not named him since. If she has, it's been, I would assume, very, very rare. She refers to him as like this man, baby daddy, whatever else. It's like saying that it's Lala's fault that Rand is no longer on the show. Technically, it's because of Rand's behavior that Rand is no longer on the show, that Rand and Lala are no longer in a relationship, that Rand and Lala are embroiled in a custody battle. I'm sorry for Lala that Rand wasn't a full-time cast member so that she could maybe have a little bit of understanding of Lala's feelings. I am not, by the way, equating Rand with Tom, or I don't intend to, because what Rand has been accused of from a business perspective, from a power structure perspective, from a possible liability with some court stuff perspective, as a parent, it is such a different, it's like a totally different territory. I think you can understand that Rand is like such a, I would say a much, much worse person than Tom. Like just there's a lot of stuff there that Tom just hasn't had an opportunity to check off the list that I don't think that he would ever do genuinely when it comes to like stiffing people out of money in this way on such a huge scale, plus everything else. If Rand had been a full-time cast member on the show, which they were sort of leading up to, like he was becoming sort of a pre-current Brock. He was filming for the first time. He was more involved in conversation. They were trying to make him more of a present part of the show. It's to Lala's benefit that that didn't happen, because if it had, she would have, and Rand wanted to continue filming, and there's no way to me he wouldn't, because he would want to have a voice in whatever like public defense he could, you know, lead, which would not cost him necessarily the kind of like crisis PR money that he would need to pay otherwise. And those people want you to pay your bills. Would she be in a different position? I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. I feel like the difficulty in me having this conversation and trying to put a couple words together with a ring on a string is that for Lala, everything that we're talking about here, that we're trying to pin together, it doesn't work because it's just not the same circumstance. And Lala doesn't seem to understand that. Like she's saying, I should be treated the same. It's the same situation. It's not. It's not in terms of his role, of Rand's role in the show. It's not in terms of what Rand is accused of. And people weren't aware of what Rand was accused of at the point in which, you know, she and Rand broke up. At that point, it was like a cheating conversation. Everything else since has multiplied. Although there were, you know, allegedly conversations about Rand not paying the bill for years prior, as well as, you know, some of his other behaviors being discussed off the show on the DL. I mean, Lala says a lot about I speak the truth. I'm the only one that speaks the truth. But she was a big fan previously of an NDA, of not having his name spoken, not because they had broken up, but because they were very much together. She understood certain boundaries that she wanted to put in place to protect her relationship. She has no understanding of boundaries that a person would put in place to protect themselves. She wants to protect the relationship with aspects of herself by not mentioning Rand, but when it comes to Ariana's boundaries, none of that makes sense. And I feel a little bit like I'm doing a lesser job of what I did on the last episode of this godforsaken Vanderpump Rules deep dive. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated. Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call? If you want volume, Way's fine hair and conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it, so there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss, and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Row, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ROW.co/andyscrolls. Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Row-affiliated healthcare provider. And
I take responsibility for that.
But I also kind of feel like at the end of the day, this season has been a little bit of a fuck up. And it's hard to make sense of Lala's behavior and in that same sort of basket or a smaller one next door of Sheena's, because it's devoid of a lot to me of common sense. Like the fact that Ariana is being blamed for doing something that she would have only done for the purposes of cameras that would not have made sense according to her quote unquote storyline. It would not have made sense. The audience would not have reacted well to Ariana seemingly being like emotionally, I don't mean literally, emotionally beat up by being forced to interact with Tom, someone who you can see gives her such visceral physical discomfort to participate in a conversation where he's trying to apologize. We've seen that before, maybe not with Ariana in the scene, but we've seen him do that with other people. We've seen him do that with Schwartz. We've seen him do that with Sheena. We've seen him do that with Lisa Vanderpump. We've seen him do the cry, I'm sorry. Why did we need to add on this thing that would have felt so forced and fake? And why do you think that Ariana would have participated in it for anything other like 2.5 seconds? What would have happened at the end? She would have walked out. The end still would have happened. It just would have been so overly produced and not real. So what is the like statement of work here? What's the memo of understanding when it comes to how someone does their job? Because doing something doesn't mean it's going to make the final cut. And not doing something is likely closer when it comes to that scene that didn't happen with Ariana and Tom. It's closer to being real than not. The fact that Ariana chose to leave. She expressed herself very clearly to production. Lala saying during part three that the reason that the end of the finale hit wasn't because of Ariana leaving, it's because Lala melted down. I don't think she necessarily understands how successful the finale was for the audience, because to me, the success had nothing to do with Ariana leaving or not. It had to do with that, you know, ground shifting comment by Tom that I do think proved who he was. He was someone who was happy that the focus was not on him. It worked for him. It worked out. This was a good ending for Tom. So if your argument is such that after the reunion has ended, Tom goes over and is like, I have so much respect for you. I'm so appreciative for everything you've done. Like, what does that say to you if you're on the same side as Tom? This person who you are trying to tell us repeatedly you've always known was a piece of shit. If the piece of shit is telling you that you've done a good job, how good of a job do you think that you've done? Aren't you just proving his point? Why does nobody care that Tom sucks? Why is the focus all on Ariana? It doesn't make sense. It's telling me why Lala doesn't produce reality TV. She self-produces, but she made to me a bad call. And I can't stop thinking about Summer House, because Summer House, you can have people like women on the cast right now who might have some tension with each other, who might like have some arguing. Like Gabby and Danielle are gonna go at it at the reunion, as well they should. Like Gabby just deserves to have and share some thoughts. It doesn't mean that like girl power means that you cannot get into arguments with your friends. Absolutely you can. But it does also mean to me that you have an understanding that's like greater than your own maybe selfish desires of what it means to really support someone. And obviously, Lala came into the reunion feeling a certain way about Ariana. She understood she was going to get away with a lot of shit, as Sheena did, when it turns out that, you know, Ariana hadn't watched the reunion. So if Ariana seeing a clip of something like Sheena saying in a scene that Tom misses me more than he does his ex-partner of nearly a decade, Ariana's going to say, that sucks. Sheena's response can be, well, it's the edit. You didn't watch the full episode, so you can't really have a complaint. She's not entirely wrong with that. Like the moment still stands. But if you haven't seen the full context of the season, sure, it's going to be tough to develop some sort of opinion. It's like their upset is not necessarily that Ariana, you know, walked out of that scene. They feel like she's walked off the show, that she's not as invested as they definitely are. And I understand some of that frustration. But also blaming her for the circumstances around this is weird. Blaming her for the fact that she's gotten all of these opportunities and she's signing on. You can want to be financially stable even if you don't have a kid. I know that's new information for some of the members of the cast, but it's entirely possible that supporting yourself is also important. That it's okay not to minimize someone who has made the decision not to have a child. They're ability to support themselves and like take as many financial opportunities as they can, including to like get themselves out of a really, really toxic house. I think we can maybe, you know, decide for just a second that Ariana has the right to support herself and her family, which currently includes herself. We don't know if she's supporting other people as well. It's entirely possible. But that doesn't diminish or add on the fact that she's making decisions that Lala feels like she hasn't earned. And I don't know what the response to that is. The response seems to be, I earned it more, or I should have had those opportunities because I was equally hurt. But I don't know why your response to that is, so I'm going to act like a piece of shit. I didn't get the empathy edit. I didn't get the sympathy from the cast. People were telling me that I deserved what happened. So I'm going to make sure that Ariana feels bad. And then you see this person who was unaware of these feelings. Now that we are entirely on the, you know, understanding that the chunk that the cast didn't see included all of the like, evidently she's Madonna Michigas. You see this person breaking down because they're hurt. You see them saying, I understand your frustration. It's doing the thing that Lala and to a certain extent Sheena couldn't understand how to do, which is to say, I may not share your feeling, but I understand it. Like, I'm going to respect it. I may not have experienced it, but I understand that it's here and I'm going to validate. Lala couldn't do that. She didn't have capacity to, and Sheena was too afraid, which also says a lot about her, honestly. Like, you don't just get a blank check when it comes to like public opinion because you're too afraid to do the right thing. I don't know. When things are tough, your decision of what to do or what not to do can explain an awful lot, can show an awful lot. The irony of like, I'm so afraid that people are going to think ill of me, that I'm going to hang on as much as possible to Lala, is not going to get her the feedback that Sheena feels like she deserves. Like Sheena saying, all I need, when is it going to be my turn? The issue is like, this might be your turn. Your turn might be now. And the cost of that might be dealing with a lot of fucking shit on the internet. Like Lala keeps talking about people being in the comment section. You really should be steering that entirely Sheena's way, because she seems caught up in that web more than anyone else in that cast. But circling back to that cruelty, the cruel intentions of it all, as Ariana said to her, I understand your frustration. I do not understand your insults. Like, Lala doesn't have a response to that, because how could she? Because for Lala, insulting is connected to reality. If I'm going to call someone a piece of shit, I'm the truth teller because I'm the meanest on that stage. This is not a real thing anymore. This is the job. The job is being cruel. The job is being cutting. The issue with that perspective is that you're going to lose the interest or trust of people in the cast. Your job is not to have big explosive scenes and have that be it. It is not to force through this weird, awkward scene that shouldn't have happened, that didn't, because Ariana was honest at the finale between Ariana and Tom. That's not your job. Your job is to be friends with these people, and hopefully, as a reaction to that, ensure that the audience cares. We might not like you. We might like you a whole lot, but your job is to have trust with each other. If you do not have trust with each other, you don't have a show. You can hate someone in the cast, but you need to be able to convince us that people, that there are stakes in this friend circle, that there are stakes in this dynamic. Lala did a bad job to me in the latter part of the reunion, because while there were points that she was making that I understood, she kind of trampled over any possibility of moving forward at this point with two very important members of the cast. Like, this is not, we're not getting into like the girl power of it all. The things that Summer House has been able to do that Vanderpump Rules has not. Like, you can have tension with someone and also understand they deserve my support. They deserve to be heard. That's not happening on Vanderpump Rules. And Lala's to blame for a lot of it. Lala's very focused on the fact that Ariana didn't participate in that one moment. She has no understanding of the actual harm, I think, that she's created to the show by her behavior in this reunion, by the fact that she ends the reunion saying, I don't care about either of these women. Like, they're in the, what did she say? They're in the ER or something, like whatever the actual terminology was. She's poking the hole so much. We're talking about like breaking the fourth wall, but what about the friend circle itself? When you rip that apart, it doesn't mean that everybody needs to get along. This is Vanderpump Rules. The vast majority of them don't. But there needs to be some sort of care about some of these people. And, you know, like, who is it that you're going to gravitate to? At the end of the reunion, if the guy who said on camera, this works out for me because everyone's seemingly mad at her and not me, like I'm happy with how this went, if he's the one who's telling you you did a good job, I would maybe re-examine the kind of job that you did. Like, what's the cost of Lala's honesty? I think it's having any kind of unity in the part of the cast that I think is necessary for the show to move forward. I really do. Maybe that's genuinely single-minded of me. Maybe it's like nearsighted of me. Maybe I'm not thinking that far enough in the future. Surely we have seen so many fractured reunion cycles on Vanderpump Rules. Obviously, reunion cycles on Housewives. I mean, there's so many divisions currently on shows that are filming right now or have been filmed that are being aired, a la New Jersey, whatever the fuck's going on in Franklin Lakes. But if you're telling us you don't care and that the purpose of this job being successful is making money to support yourself, which is a sign of or a symbol of pride, which I completely understand, but the whole focus of this is how much of a job it is, that it's more about the job than the friendship, you're getting to the thing that is making Vanderpump Rules a little bit of a flop, which is ensuring that we will care as little as possible about whether or not some of these friendships repair. Like, I don't have trust that Lala is able to be an active listener in the way that I wish she would. It doesn't mean she needs to agree with my opinion, but I just don't know that she can get past her anger and upset and really listen to what's being said. She's so defensive. She's so mad at Katie for things that don't make sense, because then we're seeing, you know, unseen footage of Katie honestly talking about the fact that Tom and Ariana weren't all good, that there were issues. She's trying to show an environment where that never happened because we didn't see it in an aired episode. She's doing these things that don't make sense, where the only reality is the 44 minutes that we get to watch, except if we watch something that didn't include a certain amount of grace for Lala, she's going to seek revenge. That's a perspective that doesn't make sense to me. And the thing that I genuinely thought was pathetic was Sheena's upset and tears when she had to decide between Ariana and Lala and made the choice to try to triple down on what Lala was saying, and then was crying when cameras seemingly went down on stage because she was afraid she wasn't doing enough. There was a moment where there was a cut to commercial, and Ariana, right before Ariana and Katie got like stuck to themselves, which genuinely, I mean, that was a sign from God above that these women are sticking together, and it's a benefit to both of them as a result. But there was a moment where Ariana was so broken. She looked so vulnerable. She looked torn open. And, you know, it's where Katie is like reaching over to give her a hug, and then their heads get stuck together. Iconic. Katie is trying to comfort her. Ariana looks so upset. Sheena crosses the stage, completely ignores Ariana, and goes to check in with Lala and make sure that she didn't, like, doesn't get mad at her. She's so upset about someone who's displaying an arrogant level of misdirected anger that she's forgetting her family. Now, we all have family members, I think, where things can get a little touch and go, where there's a little bit of toxicity present. You know, the fact that Sheena and Ariana see themselves as family does not mean that they will stay together as family, as family, as friends. It just means that at a certain point in time, you guys went through something very, very intense together. But what are you doing now at this point to make Ariana feel supported, to show her some example of support? You're ignoring her upset entirely because maybe you feel like there isn't a future there. And then what are we watching? What are we watching? If you feel like if your decision is to ignore that entirely, and I'm picking apart a small moment, I completely, but you know what? The reunion was made up of small moments made big. So what do you want from me? You're crossing over to that stage and you're going to check in with Lala because you're terrified that she's upset. Sometimes those are the people who aren't necessarily worth those check-ins. Like, should you be nervous that your friend is going to be mad at you in a way that might totally damage your friendship? If they're mad at you because they feel like you're lying or misrepresenting your feelings, and maybe you are, that's kind of a you issue. That's maybe an issue with your friend, but you shouldn't be afraid of them being mad. I don't know that that is an indicator that bodes well for Sheena and Lala's relationship, that Sheena is afraid that she's going to upset Lala past the point of no return. That to me indicates that Sheena does have an understanding that she's maybe misrepresenting the truth because she is afraid of upsetting Ariana, but not afraid enough to comfort her when she's crying and looking really fucking alone in her seat. At that point, you go over to Lala because you don't want her to turn against you? You don't want her to say too much? I'm not saying it's like a friendship of convenience, but there are some inconvenient truths here to maybe unpack. I know that they have seemingly a bond. I don't think it's a trauma bond necessarily, but if you have a bond that's set in like talking shit about another member of the cast, and this is the person that you considered your soulmate, your sister, your friend, I don't know what that means about your relationship, because I would look at that person and think, wow, if they couldn't treat Ariana this way, then am I next? And the likelihood is if Lala genuinely thinks this is a job and nothing more, you absolutely should be next. You should be the next to be sacrificed because you're the only one left. That was not the episode I thought it was going to be. And again, I'm so sorry if none of this makes sense. It really wasn't. It felt like the reveal to me of Tom, and I might change my mind on this entirely after watching whatever Secrets Revealed version of this airs on Peacock tomorrow, also known as today when you're listening. I just felt like the reveal landed with a thud because these people were too fucking overprepared to have a very specific narrative, and we're watching Ariana go through the thing that she thought mistakenly she was going to avoid, which was being hurt. I think there would have been a little bit of an element of like girding your loins had she watched more of the show, maybe not all of the show. I understand why she might not have because of her commitments on Broadway. I totally get it. I'm not negating that. I also understand why, for the purposes of her own boundaries and her own mental health, that she didn't want to see that toxicity. But she's still going to be a part of it when you're on this show and people are asking you questions. You're just putting yourself in a position where you're going to be more surprised as a result. Like, if you had seen maybe aspects of what Lala and Sheena were talking about that made confessionals, and they were all given the episodes minus the last couple minutes of the finale, if you had seen more examples of that, you may have been able to get to a point of like preparing your body to go through a certain amount of stress over the course of the reunion. Like having a tolerance for distress, having a distress tolerance of like, I don't want to deal with these things. Well, you're still going to deal with them. You're just now unprepared. So maybe if we could have watched a little bit more, talked to our friends a little bit, I think the avoidance, and as someone who is a constant, repeat, chronic avoider, a lot of that might be like genuinely necessary for my mental health, but it doesn't mean that I'm saving myself that stress. It just means I'm putting it off. But putting that off often can snowball. This thing can build and build and build. And that's kind of what I thought we saw in the last half or third of the episode, was Ariana being totally unprepared to hear Lala and then Sheena's thoughts. Like Sheena at the tail end of the reunion saying like, I totally agree with Lala. I understand everything she's saying. She has the right to say it and people have the right to disagree. I really genuinely, I don't mean this as an insult. I thought it was pathetic. And then seeing them backstage and they're upset backstage, it just didn't make sense. It feels so misdirected. And I say that noting, I think they, of course, they have the right to be frustrated with Ariana maybe not stepping up in the ways that they feel like she should have, but she also stepped up in many ways that they're not acknowledging. She's the one that called production and said, you know, Tom, fuck Rachel, let's film. She's the one that ensured that cameras were there. She's the one that went to the reunion, something Lisa Vanderpump said she couldn't have, she might not have been able to do, and filmed the reunion with Tom and Rachel on that stage. And that is weeks after finding out. Like Lala can't do 10% of that in her life. And maybe there's valid reason for it, but Lala doesn't necessarily care about valid reason. She cares about like her version of facts. Well, the facts are we have seen Ariana's been given more opportunity to stand up in that way, but she's also done it. And Lala has not. And again, there might be valid reason why she hasn't, but Lala doesn't seem to care about validity. What she cares about is her version of proof. And I just don't know that, you know, that's working out great. I just don't think it is. We're forgetting everything because we're just assuming that that's the cost of doing business, right? That you show up, that you film with your boyfriend's mistress who used to be your very good friend, that you film with your boyfriend, that you're like saying and doing all of these things. No one's acknowledging that one of the reasons maybe that Ariana doesn't want to film with Tom is maybe because of some of the stuff that he's already said on camera. If this man is going to weaponize her mental health, he still doesn't understand why that's bad. It has to be explained to him for the 15th time. He still doesn't get it. Don't you think that she would be uncomfortable filming some sort of apologetic scene where he's crying? Because she doesn't know what he's going to say. And that's not a good thing. It's just in terms of like, he's done so much that's been seemingly super manipulative and reprehensible. Why would I put myself into that position again? I've done so much other shit. Sheena Marie, or as I will refer to her forever and ever, amen, Sheena Shea, has been right about a couple things in life. Number one, good as gold is a bop. Number two, apples are a delicious fruit. And also, family life is unpredictable, and a little peace of mind goes a long way. Now, as a single woman living here in New York City, Pedro Pascal, it's your time. Oftentimes, I am checking in with my friends because safety is important and so is peace of mind. In fact, when I had a medical crisis a couple years ago, my friends didn't know where I was while I was in the hospital. The reason they knew something was wrong, true story, was because I didn't show up to a private shopping appointment downtown. That's where Life 360 comes in. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you keep track of the people and things that are most important to you. The people you need to know are okay. A focus that Sheena Shea keeps in mind. While Life 360 can be used for so many reasons, the option of ensuring that your kids are protected while giving them independence, checking on your friends, or for me, as someone who has some chronic health issues, to ensure that people know where I am. That's why I love Life 360. Another thing I love about it is that with all of these lovely European schleps, in addition to sharing my flight information with my mom, she can see exactly when I've landed because of the app. Parents have enough to worry about. Breathe easier with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code Andy's Girls to get 1 month of the gold package for free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code Andy's Girls. It's good as gold. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie dog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant. As Luann would say, c'est bon, c'est bon. Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HAPPYMAMMOTH.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
I don't know, man. I thought it was kind of, dude, I think it was a flop. I have to say that the stuff between Ariana and Tom, because, you know, Lala keeps saying that Ariana doesn't show up to work, but Ariana's like literally on that stage. She's sandwiched, you know, there are two people sandwiched in between her, and then it's her ex-boyfriend, the person that she would never talk to. She's talking to him on that stage, but nobody cares because she walked out of the finale scene. Like, literally, what's happening? Why isn't anybody acknowledging what's happening in real time? The many, many, many things that we've seen that Ariana has done, like, it doesn't make sense. I do have to say that this, some of the stuff between Ariana and Tom landed for me. Genuinely, genuinely landed for me. Where I was like, oh, this is, I'm feeling this. Where some of their emotions with each other, I genuinely felt. And I also kind of feel like, I don't need that to happen again. I think we're good. We don't need to pretend that Tom is interested in repairing this for anything other than some sort of like performance art. We don't have to pretend that Ariana's interested in repairing this. Obviously, she isn't. Also, what are they repairing? What's the foundation here? There's no foundation. This man stomped on her heart. He did terrible things. She's talking about the fact that, you know, she's saying that Rachel's saying terrible things about her and that's Tom's fault. It absolutely is. Rachel's also suing her because of Tom recording Rachel allegedly without her consent, which I do believe, and has decided to sue Ariana as well. Like, that's on Tom. He's done terrible things, terrible, terrible things that he's not being blamed for because either Lala is bored of it and she thinks going after Ariana is more interesting or she can't get out of herself. You would think that someone who expressed a lot of anger toward Tom last season, that she explained by reasoning that it was essentially equating it with what Rand did, with how she felt about Rand left, about the way that, you know, she left and the breakdown of her relationship with Rand. You would think that that would also involve some sentiment of support of Ariana that would last beyond triage. I just, for someone who isn't an original cast member of the show, she has such a big opinion of the job performance of people who've been on the show far longer than her, who've also done a fucking lot. Like Ariana, I don't know, right now, the value that she brings to the show is to me larger than what Lala brings. And maybe she's mad about that. Maybe she feels like I'm doing so much more than what this other person has done and all of the attention and support goes to them. You should have chosen to date a better man, I guess, or a much worse man who was in the cast. I don't know. It's tough. I just don't understand why Ariana is being blamed for a lot of this. And she is, it's like the way that, you know, Tom apologizing to her is a crock of shit. He doesn't believe it. I don't believe it. Ariana doesn't believe it. A large part of the audience doesn't believe it. And we've seen enough of his other apologies that, like, genuinely checking it off the list. Like, we're good. We don't need to see it. It's not going to bring value to us as an audience. Many of us already hate him. So, like, we don't need to hate him as a result of that. There's so many other examples to fall back on. But it's interesting to me the way that Tom and Sheena both acknowledge that they understand that Ariana isolates. They understand that she behaves in manners that might be comparable to being a little bit of an introvert, which is not a bad thing. The fact that people are punishing her for that is weird to me. I don't get it. You cannot argue that she hasn't shown us vulnerability, upset, stress on camera. She has over and over and over again. Tom's now labeling her as lazy because I don't see evidence of Ariana's laziness. I think her schedule shows that she's not lazy. He can't even show up to a podcast recording on time, and he can't even do the work of, you know, being on key singing a note. So who's lazy now? I mean, my God, the lack of work ethic from Sandoval tells you an awful lot. But it is weird to me that Sheena, you know, at one point in the reunion is talking about how she understands that, you know, Ariana isolates. She understands that she can be a little bit of an introvert in that way. And I'm just thinking to myself, do you really get that? Because then later on, you see her crying, you see her broken apart, this person who's already saying she doesn't want to show a lot of emotion in that way publicly. It makes her uncomfortable on that stage, and you don't even acknowledge it. Like, Sheena's already decided that she's like, I don't know, that it's your family, so I don't need to protect you, your family, so I feel a certain amount of tension or concern that you're not going to like me anymore, but I'm just going to kind of hope that this all works out. Lala's easier to reach, maybe a lighter lift, maybe more honest, because maybe she really isn't fucking with Ariana right now. But if you're saying to this person and to us, you understand her behaviors, you understand the reasoning for them, and then you're agreeing with Lala in real time in private conversations and also on the finale, make that make sense. Like, you understand who Ariana, Sheena should understand who Ariana is more than anybody else on that stage, excepting Tom. Like, EXC, not ACC. Sheena should get it. She does when it suits her, but she really chooses not to at other points. And that's not great. It's not showing great character from her, I would say. And I understand that she's also defeated. I understand that she's also hurt. I get that she and Lala are the breadwinners for their family. I'm not taking away from that. I just feel the need or the ability to not invalidate Katie and Ariana because they've made the decision to not have kids. Like, I just don't understand. I get the pressures. I mean, I get it having as someone who's never experienced it, so only so much. But I respect it. I respect the fact that they are under a certain amount of stress. I just don't understand why that stress is being blamed to Ariana when, as Sheena says, she understands her character. She understands who she is and how she behaves. Not when she's outside of that room, babe. Not when you're recording the after show, not when you're doing all this other shit. And now you're saying in real time that you haven't heard from Ariana. No fucking duh, babe. You know, family's on the outs right now. There's not going to be a family reunion happening anytime soon. You don't deserve it. And you haven't heard from Tom? Wow. One could argue maybe Ariana was right. How would the audience have reacted if we had watched Ariana be forced, which absolutely would have been 100% apparent, to participate in a scene with Tom, and then it turns out he was kind of a piece of shit? What would he have said if that scene went his way on camera at the end of the episode? I assume something equally shitty than what we heard him say. It's not great, guys. What did I watch? Literally, what did I watch? Also, did absolutely any of this make sense? Entirely possible. It did not. And one other thing about Sheena. When Sheena said to Ariana earlier in the season, I can't keep hating him for you, which was an energy that I saw her kind of repeat over and over again. I just have to say, as a friend, and we can say sister circle style or not, why not? Why wouldn't you hate the guy that hurt your, for all intents and purposes, sister's heart? Why wouldn't you feel a way about him? I get letting go of aspects of visceral anger because it's connected to anxiety and how you process it, and it's not good for your mental health. I get that. But wouldn't you dislike this guy who also, P.S., we didn't hear any of this during the reunion, but was also very much on team fucking filing for a TRO, temporary restraining order? This guy was like saying actively that you did the things that Rachel accused you of, that thing that was like the number one stress in your life for a period of time. We're just forgetting all of that because he's quicker to return texts. I don't know. If you have a bad friend who's available more than maybe a good friend who's maybe disappointing you, which I understand, do you go for the bad friend because they're going to send you a superficial text? Is that what's feeding you with this? I don't know. I don't know what to do with that for Sheena. I don't think Sheena was ever meant to be the star. It's the best thing about her, frankly. Like, she's often been the punchline, butt of the joke. There's always been a little bit of a wink or sarcastic thing sent her way, and she's a fighter. She, which is something I respect. Like, Sheena is a fighter. She's fought her way through this show. She has a new nemesis seemingly every other season, like literally alternating years. Everyone on Earth in the cast is mad at her for X or Y reasons. And she's been able to stay on the show and kind of make it work. I don't see that changing necessarily, but she's never going to be the star. It's one of the better qualities. It's like when people say that Kyle is an alpha and then I start to laugh. She's not. She's a strong beta. She's a strong beta. Sheena does not have that kind of star alpha energy, and Lala is fucking hers up. And I don't know which is worse. Honestly, I genuinely don't know which is worse. It's tough. But as Ariana said, you know, the only way to get past some of this is through it. And I think we saw an example of that, at least in the reunion, of like, we're kind of going to talk about some of this. We're kind of going to have these like monologue, disconnected moments. There's going to be a lot of tension. We work through it and let's see what happens next. Like, they're going on a long break. Mazel tov. We'll see who's on the other side. Do I think that Ariana is going to stay on the show? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Love Island. Like, if Love Island can, I don't know how much they're paying her. I don't know how much she gets on Vanderpump Rules. I don't see Ariana turning down an opportunity to cash a Vanderpump Rules check. I don't think it makes any sense for her financially. It really genuinely doesn't. But I also don't know what this show looks like moving forward. And I think Lala made it tough in a way that it didn't have to be. And it's so unfortunate that so much of the reunion was spent talking about confusion about Lala and maybe Sheena and not on Tom. It's just weird that Ariana has become a bad employee because she was cheated on by her partner of nearly a decade in the eyes of some members of the cast. Like, that's just, it's just an odd look to me, and it's hard to make something make sense when it just absolutely is not. And I think about this thing that Ariana said, I think at one point to Tom on tonight's episode, she said, you know, this is the consequence of your actions to me. Why is nobody seemingly accepting that, that Tom has the right to have some consequences because Tom fucked up? Tom did. Tom's the one who fucked Rachel for 7+ months. Tom's the one who encouraged Rachel seemingly to get a TRO. Tom's the one who allegedly recorded Rachel in an intimate moment without her consent. That was Tom. The consequence of his cheating is that his ex-girlfriend might not want to film an apology scene with him when she knows he's full of shit. That's a consequence of behavior. Why is Lala allergic to that? Why is she allergic to consequences? Except when Ariana is being used as a symbol, I guess, of Lala, like, seeking revenge. This is what happens when you don't support me. When you, meaning the greater audience, don't support me, I'm going to come after your girl. Is that what we're watching? Is this like how Lala is going to even things out? The irony is that there's consequences for Lala's actions too. And she's Bethany-ing out. She's saying, it's ridiculous. People who disagree with her are trolls. She's not going to participate in it because she's above it. You're not, babe. You're like well below. We wouldn't be having some of these conversations except that there are consequences for her behavior and actions. And I can say the same in a different way about Sheena to a different level. I can. Like, they're going to deal with a certain amount of fire, and that's a consequence. I'm not talking about like really, really below the belt stuff, but people being like, I disagree with your behavior and here's why, is a consequence of your behavior. It's also a consequence of being on this kind of reality show on Bravo, is people are going to have takes. But it says something that to me, a majority, not everybody, nor should it be, but a majority of viewers do not agree with Ariana, with Lala's behavior. And Lala is telling them that they're full of shit. Well, there's a consequence for that too. I don't know. I mean, Tom and Tom figured out in a way that they didn't love that a big part of like monetizing their time on Vanderpump Rules was connected to some element of morality or something else. It's reputation.
their reputation enable and their star quality, star power enabled them to have TomTom, enabled them to attempt to open Schwartz and Sandy's. I wonder for Lala what the consequences of her behavior is going to be. Is it going to be people buying less of her merch, or was that happening anyway because, you know, things kind of settle down? We're not currently in like the Scandoval loop where we need that information 24/7. So who is Lala moving forward, and who's she going to blame next? Because like if Ariana isn't there anymore, and I think she will be there, maybe I think it's probably like 65-35 that she'll be back. But if Ariana isn't available to be the target anymore, who's next? I guess that's Katie. You've already done like the setup of I don't give a shit about either of these people. Oof. What a weird move. What a genuinely weird move. I mean, I wish, you know, to a certain extent, Lala was like listening a little bit more, having an understanding of why James this season definitely broke out more than he did before. He has an ability to understand and empathize with Katie, with Ariana, and still call Tom a piece of shit and do it in a way that feels honest and feels intelligent. And I just wish that, it's not that I wish that Lala didn't look like so much of an idiot, because I wouldn't call her an idiot. I don't know. Maybe it's that Katie Rost scene with Ashley Darby from Potomac where it's like, I didn't call you an idiot. Maybe I called you stupid. Or like, I didn't call you stupid. Maybe I called you dumb. Whatever it was, whatever that line was. I don't think it was that. I just think she made maybe a bad decision, or I just disagree with her. I just disagree with her take. One could argue that having a big opinion is maybe a sign of success. I don't know that that's happening here, but anything is possible. So I don't know if any of this made sense, but thank you so much for listening. The Summer House, God bless us everyone, reunion trailer came out. I did a live reaction for the AG Patreon, an absolutely live reaction on the AG page, and also unpack some of your Satchels of Gold, more another Satchel Spectacular about your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Simone, about Summer House and Vanderpump Rules, because those are two of the shows taking up 99.9% of my brain at this moment. So you can listen to that episode, which is exclusive to the OG of the AG and People's Couch tiers on Patreon now by going to patreon.com/andyscrolls. It is a nearly hour-long episode, including, yes, my live reaction to that Summer House reunion trailer and so much more. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at DameGally and also allegedly Threads. And thanks for listening. Let me know your thoughts and feels. Send me your satchels. DM me on IG or comment on the page. Or email me a thesis at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. I'm curious. Again, this is a triage episode. There will be more to come with maybe my opinion spelled out in a different way. But in the meantime, thanks for listening to this episode, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.